الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. منها خلقناكم وفيها نعيدكم ومنها نخرجكم تارة أخرى. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, in our last bayan we had been making mention with regard to the etiquette and the masail pertaining to the deceased person. What should be done at the time of death? In our last bayan we had concluded at the time of picking up the janazah from the deceased place. And would like to continue from this particular point on with regard to the masail and with regard to the guidance given to us by our sharia on what to do thereafter. From the sunnah method we find with regard to the picking up of the janazah, this is the recommended procedure. Now what you will find with regard to the recommended procedure and what we are doing today, it is not in accordance with that particular recommended procedure. The recommended procedure with regard to the picking up of the deceased person, with regard to picking up of the janazah, is that a person should try and pick up for 40 steps. And starting off with 10 steps at the right shoulder of the deceased, 10 steps at the right leg of the deceased, 10 steps at the left shoulder of the deceased, and 10 steps at the left leg of the deceased. And it is also recommended, and this is what we find in Makkah Mukarrama, that people should be behind the janazah when picking up the janazah. Today what we find is that people stand in front waiting for the janazah. Now I'm not going to say that it is haram to do that, but the more closer method to the sunnah and the recommended procedure is that people stand and be behind the janazah, the way we find what happens in Makkah Mukarrama and Madinah Munawwara. People are behind the janazah, and this is what we should try and aspire towards, picking up the janazah with 40 steps, and in the manner that I have made mention. It is also discouraged that a person sits down before the janazah is placed down. It has also been specifically prohibited by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I said, this is a recommended procedure. We should try gradually to try and implement this particular procedure in our janazahs. And somewhere along the line, maybe somewhere, a start should be made with regard to it. Also with regard to the janazah, it has been specifically mentioned that our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you walk with the janazah, walk briskly with it. Walk quickly with it, haste with it, without it being jolted, obviously. And the reason Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because if the person is a virtuous and a righteous person, then it is better for him to be in the qabr than to be on your shoulder. And if he is not a virtuous person, then you are carrying a burden upon your shoulder. Take that particular burden quickly down to his abode and to his destination. What a great lesson, that after you pass away, all other currencies, all other dignity, all other respect and honor, it fades. Now there is only one currency that will work there. After you close your eyes, there is only one currency that works. And that currency is the currency of your amal and your deeds which you have done in this world. Nothing else matters. Look at what a great lesson Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. If he is virtuous, he will go to his abode quickly. And if he is not so, then too he will go to his abode quickly. Therefore, carry the janazah hastily and walk briskly with it, obviously without being jolted. Then after carrying the janazah, then we bring it down to the janazah salat. Now the janazah salat, obviously one of the perennial problems that we have had in our community is with regard to the time and the regularity of the janazah salat. And I think this is something that we recommend, and this is something that we should try and implement, of fixing the time of the janazah salat. So that when the time of the janazah salat is known, people might, in today's time, we're all aware that people have various activities, they might not be able to make it for the entire duration of the janazah. But if they know what time the janazah salat is, it would cause them less inconvenience, that if they know exactly they come at that particular time, at least they can partake in the janazah salat. And this particular aspect of waiting for people is something that is sometimes very distressing. And especially, which is even more distressing, is we sometimes find people staining them, gossiping, talking about worldly affairs. And when the janazah comes and the janazah is waiting, then they rush to go and make the wuzu. And all along they have been sitting and talking about worldly affairs, not worrying about the inconvenience they are causing to other people who have to wait for them. Now if a person gets delayed for some valid reason, it can be understood. But when you are standing there, you are waiting for the janazah, and only because of your worldly talk, you wake other people, go through this inconvenience, it is something that we should try and stay away from. Then with regard to the janazah salat, janazah is a dua. And Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, as is made mention in Abu Dawood, that Nabi Kareem s.a.w. had said, when you perform janazah, pray earnestly and sincerely for your brother that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, as is narrated in Sahih Muslim, that the deceased upon which a large number of people perform janazah, and they pray earnestly and sincerely for the deceased person, and if there is a large group of such Muslims, especially if that number reaches 100, 100 has been specifically mentioned by our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is hoped that that particular plea and dua that they are making, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their plea, and Allah ta'ala will accept the intercession on behalf of the deceased. Now janazah also, my dear respected brothers, is the right of the deceased. It is a right of our fellow Muslim brother. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made mention of it, of the 6 rights that we owe to our next Muslim brother, to make and go to perform his janazah salat and to partake in his funeral and his burial. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates, once again in a hadith which appears in Sahihain, in both Bukhari and Muslim, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, whoever with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with a firm faith and intention of gaining reward, goes and performs the janazah of his Muslim brother and partakes in the funeral, then if he partakes in the entire funeral, both in the janazah and in the burial, he returns with 2 qirats of reward. And every qirat is equivalent to the amount of Uhud. And if he only performs the janazah salat and he returns, then he at least returns what the reward of 1 qirat, and 1 qirat is equivalent to the Mount of Uhud, as explained to us by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also one thing that is noticed many a times with regard to the janazah is, sometimes people laugh and they joke, even at that particular time. Now this is, obviously anyone can say that this is not something which is correct. But 2 things that we should consider. One, it is highly insensitive to the people who are going through grief and difficulty and sadness. Obviously, a person who has lost his close and dear ones, for him to see at that particular time when he is burying his close and dear ones, when he is taking part in the funeral or in the janazah, for him to see people laughing and joking around in a merry way or in a merry manner, it is highly insensitive to the people who are going through difficulty and distress. And secondly, it also shows that you have neglected your ultimate abode and destination. Because we are aware that each and everyone will have to pass and tread through the very similar journey one day. It is why Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala one day was sitting when a janazah went past. So someone asked him, oh Abu Darda, a very famous companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Abu Darda, whose janazah is this? So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala said, it is your janazah. And if you feel offended what I'm telling you, then it is my janazah. Meaning at such a time, it is not now the time to find out the whole history of the person who has passed away. Now is the time for you to think that you are also going to go through the very same path one day. And also in one hadith in Ibn Sa'd, it is made mention that when Nabi Karim s.a.w. used to attend janazah prayers, Nabi s.a.w. used to mediate, and normally Nabi s.a.w. used to be very silent when Nabi s.a.w. used to attend janazah prayers. Then of course after the janazah salat itself, we come to the aspect of coming to the qabr and lowering the body. When we lower the body, it is made mention in the hadith that we should recite the dua, Bismillahi wa ala millati Rasulillah, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and upon the millat and teachings of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we read when we lower the body into the qabr. In Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's case, there were 4 people who lowered the body of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his qabr. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'anhu, and the 2 sons of Abbas. They were the 4 people who lowered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa body into his qabr. Therefore it is recommended that there are 4 people who lower the body of a person into the qabr. And if the deceased is a female, then it is mustahab to cover the body or to cover the cover with a sheet. And if it is feared that the sheet that is covering the deceased will get open, then it is wajib to do so. Once again, we take a lesson here that normally we take so much care and precaution to cover the body of the deceased when it is a female, when it has passed away, now in these final stages. And yet we do not take so much care to see that our near and close and dear ones are covered modestly according to the Sharia when they are alive. We take the precaution when they have passed away. But do we take the similar precaution when they are alive, when they are supposed to have the modesty to a greater degree also? This is what made mention with regard to taking the body down into the qabr. After the body has been placed into the qabr, then obviously we should put the sad. And here again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us the method. It is desirable at least to put 3 handfuls or 3 spadefuls of dust into the qabr. And when we do that, the first time that we put a handful or a spadeful of sand into the qabr, we read the ayat which comes in Surah Taha, Minha khalaqnakum. It is from this dust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. It is from this particular dust that you are returning today at the time of your death. وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. And it is from this dust that one day again you will be resurrected before Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is such a poignant reminder with regard to the origin and with regard to what the origin of human being is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is made mention in Sharh al-Sunnah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time of the burial of his son Ibrahim, himself partook in putting the sand into the qabr. And today many a times we feel it is against our dignity, or we feel our clothes will get muddy, although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did it. So we find that many a times it is becoming difficult for people because there are so little hands to help for them to fill the qabr. And even our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, as is made mention in Sharh al-Sunnah. Furthermore, with regard to other aspects at this particular time, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates, as is made mention in Sahih Muslim, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered against plastering the qabr or erecting any particular permanent structure upon the qabr. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited sitting upon the qabr. Now there are 2 aspects with regard to this particular hadith. One is that from the Sharia we find that we show respect to the deceased person. Therefore, even when you give ghusl to the deceased person, you do so with utmost dignity. You don't throw it around like you're throwing any particular piece of flesh or something. But you do it with dignity. And keeping that dignity in mind, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not sit upon the qabr. And keeping in mind that death is supposed to make you realize the temporary nature of this material world, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this has prohibited a solid, permanent or imposing structure upon the qabr. This has been prohibited specifically by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the qabr, after this particular aspect has taken place, one thing that we find normally, and as something, it may be something new, but people normally make an announcement, especially the near and the close and the dear ones. The announcement that they normally make is that if there is any debt which has to be paid by the deceased, or if the deceased has done someone or anyone wrong, then the people should forgive the deceased. Or if there is any money owing from the deceased, they should claim it from the near and dear ones. Now while the sentiment is noble, it is very noble in its objective, in the sense that you and I are aware that with regard to huquq al-ibad, with regard to the rights of our fellow human being, it is only if that human being whom we have wronged, if he forgives us, will we be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and will we be forgiven on the day of Qiyamah. So while the sentiment is noble, but what we should try and do is that we should try and settle our scores before we pass away. We should try and settle all our claims before we leave this world, and not leave it upon our dependents that they should settle our claims. And this is what was done even by the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. If we look at in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became sick towards the end of his life, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day made a special announcement in Masjid al-Nabawi. Is there anyone who I have done wrong to? Is there anyone I am owing money to that I can pay him? And one villager came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, one day you do not know, but you had your sick and you were straightening the steps and you hit me mistakenly upon my back. And I would like to hit you back in return. The Sahaba at first were very angry, but then when they realized what he intended doing, he, you see, when he wanted to do the same thing, he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, but when you hit me, my back was bare. And you have clothes upon your back. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam revealed his bare back, and he kissed the muhar of Nabuwat, the seal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of prophethood, which was between the shoulder blades of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we find from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I even heard from Mawlana Ihtisham Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, that Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi, towards the end of his life, had special pamphlets printed out, that if there is anyone that I owe him something, or is there anyone I have done something wrong to, please forgive me before I pass away. So this is the way of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam, and the way of the Al-Kabir also. So try and do it before we leave this world, and we do not leave any claims for our dependents, that they must fulfill those particular claims. Then another important aspect, as Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala narrates in Ibn Majah, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the mayyat had been buried, and after the qabr had been completed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically told the sahaba. And let me also make mention, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the beginning passages of Surah Baqarah at the head side, and the last passage and last verses of Surah Baqarah at the left side of the deceased. This is made mention by Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the mayyat has been buried, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the companion, that now is a very critical time for your deceased brother. Therefore, make dua for your brother. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him steadfast, because now Munkar and Nakir is going to question him with regard to his amals and his deeds which he has done in this world. It's a very critical juncture. And what we normally find is that people make a short dua, and actually the real spirit of dua is the near and dear ones should stay at the qabr for some time. They should read dua, they should read Quran, and make dua for the person. And that is the time when it is most needed by the person, that you sit there at the qabr and you make dua for some time. In fact, I've read previously somewhere that a mention is made that stay as long upon the qabr the way it takes for a camel to be slaughtered and distributed. As long as it takes for a camel to be slaughtered and the meat distributed. Sit there and make dua for the deceased. It's a critical juncture for the deceased. Also, another important aspect at this particular time that we normally see, and I would like to just conclude with this one, two aspects. One is that, you see, with regard to the food at the deceased place. Let me make mention of Abdullah bin Jafar. Makes mention that when my father passed away, Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala, the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extremely beloved to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came back from Abyssinia after the Khaybar was conquered. And when he came back and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not know whether the victory of Khaybar has pleased me more or whether the coming of Jafar has pleased me more. So beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next year, in the 8th year after Hijri, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends in upon an expedition and he passes away. He is martyred. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the means of the Jibreel, gets the news. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his house. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his house, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the small children of Hazrat Jafar playing outside the house. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraces them tightly. Asma bint Umayy is the wife of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'anhu. She says, the way Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced the children, it made me in my heart feel that something has happened to Jafar. And she said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, what news do you have about Jafar? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the news. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'anhu has been martyred in the path of Almighty Allah. When he was martyred, 90 wounds upon his body. And he was 33 years of age. Asma bint Umayy cries so much that she is close to fainting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoles her, comes back to the masjid, then tell the sahaba, go and prepare food for the family of Jafar radiallahu ta'anhu. So this is the Islamic spirit, that when people are in distress, when people are in difficulty, go and help and assist them. Go and prepare food for them. And this is something that you and I should learn. What we find normally sometimes, although alhamdulillah we find that the trend is coming away from that, sometimes we expect that the deceased family who are in difficulty, who are in distress and grief, that they should feed the people who have come to the janazah. What should be done is that we should get together and go and prepare food for them. And we've noticed many places now that maybe not the near family, but the distant family and other people get together and they prepare food. This is according to the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And lastly, let me make mention of one particular incident of Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'anhu. Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'anhu was on an expedition when his mother passed away. And when he came back, he observed that his mother passed away. Obviously, he was sad. A person who goes out in the path of Almighty Allah, who goes on a journey, and if his mother passes away, when he comes back, he is not naturally dead. So he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I feel very hurt that my mother passed away while I was away on a journey. Is there any way I can recoup or I can do something for the benefit of my mother? Nabi Karim Sallam said, do you have anything that you would like to give out in charity? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have an orchard which was known as Mikhzaf, and I hold it very dearly in terms of its value. But if this is going to benefit my mother, then O Prophet of Almighty Allah, bear witness that I have given this orchard for the isal al-sawab of my mother. And Nabi Karim Sallam became very happy. This is one aspect that will help the people who have passed away. And this is one thing that we must now, after the person has passed away, we should make dua for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. Allah forgive his shortcomings. Allah ta'ala elevate his status. But one thing that we should learn is the way we came, that is how we're going to be in the qabr. We came alone into this world, and there in that particular qabr, it is only us and our deeds that we have done in this material world that will be with us. And this is one great lesson that you and I have to learn. And this is what I will conclude this particular series. Alhamdulillah, over four bayans we have made mention with regard to the various etiquettes and with regard to the various masail pertaining to that particular time. Obviously, it is not an exhaustive thing, but some of the brief things that we have made mention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of living according to the sharia. And when we die also, let our dying be according to the sharia. Be upon the kalima, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have passed on, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status. Allah forgive their shortcomings. Allah fill their qabr with nur. And we who are still going to follow their path, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast upon deen till the day we leave this world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.